Vassal. So this morning, we start the cycle for a second time. So it's kind of like rebooting, starting afresh right in the midst of the retreat as we're getting close to the completion of 2 weeks here. We go back to the practice of loving kindness, and we'll start with, this first phase, really focusing inwardly and envisioning our own flourishing and the contributing factors for that. So this very process of being in retreat for the last couple of weeks, to my mind, is very much a kind of a maturation process where one can think of this place, I've called it a mental rehabilitation center. It's also like readjusting one's diet in the sense that ordinarily out in the world, most of the time, or at least much of the time, I would imagine, we are devoting ourselves to hedonic stimulation, hedonic well-being, trying to avoid hedonic suffering, finding hedonic happiness, and so forth. So we're out there in the world leading, you know, a worldly way of life. And when we get to it, when we find some time, carve out some time, then we devote time to meditation or what have you for cultivating genuine happiness and getting really to the root of suffering. But for most people, it's going to be rather disproportionate. A lot of the hedonic, and when we can, fit in the eudaimonic. And here it's just the opposite. It's kind of like a radical shift of diet that we're doing very little here, frankly, in the pursuit of hedonic pleasure. I mean, you choose the food you like when you go to the cafeteria. Besides that, maybe you go swimming, that's nice, and so forth. But clearly the overall emphasis here is for the cultivation of genuine happiness and cultivating the remedies for genuine unhappiness, and that is the inner causes of unhappiness. So it does entail then a shift of motivation, a shift of values, a shift of desires, of intentions. And so this has to do with the conation, or desire and intention. And so this impacts directly on this meditation for this morning. And that is, it's not at all the case that I'm encouraging people now to all line up and have the same motivation, you know, that this is the right one, baby. Have you gotten there yet, right? This is what you should be thinking when you think of your own flourishing. Not the case. But rather, shamatha, the four immeasurables, these are really designed to serve you in your own aspirations to lead the most meaningful lives you can, to fulfill or to realize your own vision of flourishing, of genuine happiness. And I strongly suspect that shamatha, the four immeasurables, will be relevant to that, whatever your specific or unique vision may be. And so this morning is then a time to re-envision, not try to remember what you did 12 or 13 days ago when we ran through this meditation for the first time. You had your own unique meditation then. It's not to try to remember back what you did then, but now start afresh. As you envision now, okay, you've had 2 weeks or so here. You've been spending a lot of time in meditation. We've had our discussions and so forth. So now, what's up now? What's your vision now? Has it shifted in any way from what it was 2 weeks ago? And so that's the maturation part, kind of a psychological, spiritual maturation. So there's that element. And also, one of you mentioned that I haven't often, or at least very explicitly, mentioned the importance of motivation at the beginning of the day. We don't, out of our 24 minutes, we don't spend 3, 4, 5 minutes just focusing on motivation. And at the end of the day, just before 6, which is not really the end of the day, then I don't go out of my way to say, okay, now we all dedicate merit. It is very true, I'm utterly convinced, that establishing the most meaningful motivation we can is enormously important, because it imbues the following practice with so much more meaning if the motivation itself is very meaningful and we're not simply going through by rote or by sheer habit through a certain exercise of following the breath or what have you. So motivation is enormously important, and just for kind of the symmetry of it, kind of the roundness of it, the completion of it, that when we come to the end of a morning of practice, the end of a day of practice, or the end of a session, to dedicate the merit, and it's coming back to our roots, okay? What brought you into it in the first place? What was your motivation, your aspiration? What was your vision? Towards what are you striving? And then at the end, almost like in the Christian tradition, they'll say, Amen, Amen. Okay. Now we completed something. Likewise, the dedication of merit is kind of like an amen. And that is going back to your aspirations and saying, okay, I just devoted some time, some energy to a certain practice, and now may this indeed lead to the realization of my most meaningful aspirations. So there's a beautiful symmetry there, enormously important. But since we don't get, but I've not been emphasizing it every single moment, we don't take time out of the 24-minute sessions to do that, kind of for a simple reason, and that is our time together is quite short, but more importantly, by the time we're convening at 9 o'clock, many of you have been up for 2, 3, 4 hours, maybe even longer. I'm a morning person, so I'm up usually about 3:30 or so, sometimes an hour earlier, sometimes an hour later, but 3:30 is average, but I go to bed early. I'm not a night person. So that's just me. That's not an ideal. That's nothing. That's just my deal. So by the time I'm showing up here, I'm already well into my practice. And so I'm doing my setting the motivation in my very first session this morning. It was at 3:30. And likewise, then we disband in terms of our group endeavor. We disband at 6 o'clock. I doubt any of you are going to bed right after dinner. And so you'll probably have some time after that. And so at the end of the day, that's the time to kind of wrap it up and do your dedication of merit if you're so inclined. So I wanted to mention that, just now and again come back to it. But that's why I'm not formally putting it into these guided meditations we're doing here. A final point before we jump in, and that is perhaps just a couple of pointers. Someone mentioned this, and I'll perhaps elaborate more later, but now very, very concisely. Now that we're just about to move into our third week out of 8 weeks here, if your daily schedule is not kind of settled, if you're not already into a rhythm that you find very satisfying, that you feel your time is very well spent, but you're not pushing too hard, so you're not starting to feel tapped out, exhausted, stressed out, you certainly don't want that, and that's easy to do, but you're also not kind of luffing, and that is just kind of like being so casual that you would look back later and say, oh, why didn't I spend my time better? So you found that middle way. But if you'd like a little bit more structure or just some suggestions here, in addition to our times together, our 2 hours, then some of you are taking advantage of the voluntary group sessions here, all very good. Some are taking the yoga with Kim. And I know one person said he's doing yoga 4 times a day. So if this is all very good. But in terms of just your formal meditative practice, focusing on the methods I'm teaching here, something you might start experimenting with are combination plates. Again, if we go back to the food analogy or food metaphor, combination plates. And so if you're still quite content with 24-minute sessions, if you find a 24-minute session doesn't drag on, so you're kind of thinking, oh, when is it going to end? When is it going to end? And it's not so short that you feel, oh, why did it end so quickly? If it still feels kind of an appropriate duration, something you might try is to do one gataka, or 24-minute period, and then just take a brief little stretch, just moving out a little bit, perhaps switch postures, maybe from the supine to the sitting, sitting to the supine, something like that. Take a brief break, and then go right back and have a second session. So in other words, have twofold sessions with a little break in between the 24-minute sessions. And then you might then start experimenting with balancing earth and wind, balancing earth and sky. That is, if you are drawn to settling the mind, then I would encourage you to go ahead and forge ahead with that. Do what really you find helpful, that you're drawn to. But you might want to keep on coming back periodically, even on a regular basis, coming back to the infirmary, coming back to mindfulness of breathing, to make sure that you're still tilling the soil of deepening the sense of relaxation and stability, so you don't start getting a bit wired or hyper by focusing always on that settling the mind, which can be a bit jarring after a while. It becomes a little bit flighty, okay? So just coming back to earth, coming back to the infirmary, or at least one way or another, coming back to mindfulness of breathing can be very nice balance. So I call that balancing earth, namely the infirmary or mindfulness of breathing, and then wind, as in facing into the wind of thoughts and images. And then likewise, if you're drawn to awareness of awareness, very good, pristine, fantastic practice. But once again, it can make you a bit spacey, a bit airy, a bit kind of unhinged, or start feeling not grounded. So then balancing earth and sky, doing combo plates with the first one would be best, of just grounding, soothing, calming yourself in mindfulness of breathing, and then directly going into, after just a 2 or 3 minute break, going right into awareness of awareness. So you may do two session sets with a little break in between. You can try that. And then if you're still fresh at the end of 2 sessions, would like to meditate more, take another short break and then make it a triple-decker sandwich. You know, then go back and whatever you like, but then take a little break and then go right back in. So you could be sitting, lying down, sitting, or the opposite, lying down, sitting, and then lying down. lying down at the end makes it really mellow, very grounded, so when you come out of meditation, kind of, it can be very smooth. Okay? So just some suggestions, experiment. But in terms of your individual schedules, that's what our individual meetings are for. That this has to be grouped, so I have to say generic things that won't be just for one person or another person, but hopefully helpful to quite a few people. But when we're meeting one-on-one, if you have any questions, any points you'd like me to make, a comment or suggestion, the one-on-one meetings are exactly the time for that, because that's just for you. So that's where we hand-tailor your time here to try to make it maximally beneficial to you. Okay? Good. Hope that's good. Let's find a comfortable position and return to the cultivation of loving kindness directed inwards, returning to the four quests, the four questions. Once again, I'll invite you to enter the practice or initiate the practice in the spirit of caring, of loving kindness and compassion for yourself. That each session may lead to a gentle, gradual alleviation of the inner causes of distress, and each one open up the inner reservoirs of mental balance, of genuine happiness. So in a very loving way, let your awareness descend gently, soothingly into the body. As you settle your body in its natural state, release control of the respiration as you allow it to settle in its natural rhythm. And with mindfulness of breathing, settle your mind so that it is relaxed, somewhat stabilized, and clear. Now let's move from this more passive mode of mindfulness or quiet awareness to the more imaginative, the creative, drawing on memory, imagination, intelligence. And pose the first of four questions. your own question, with your own unique response. And that is, how do you envision your own flourishing? A life of meaning, of fulfillment, of satisfaction. What is your heart's desire? Now consider a hypothesis that such ideals, as lofty as they may seem, are rooted not merely in wishful thinking or fantasy, an escape from reality, but stem from the deepest dimension of your own existence, of your own awareness, a dimension of awareness that is pure. And imagine, if you will, that you actually do have the potential to realize your innermost desire, your heart's desire. You may, if you wish, symbolically visualize that dimension of your awareness, these deepest inner resources, as a radiant orb of light, like a pearl, in the center of your chest, the heart chakra, symbolizing, in Buddhist terms, your Buddha nature, pristine awareness, the source of our yearning for happiness, and finally our destination for finding fulfillment. And with each out-breath, arouse the yearning. May I be truly well and happy. May I find genuine happiness and its causes. And with each out-breath, imagine radiant white light from an inexhaustible source flowing from this orb of light at your heart, filling your entire body and mind with every out-breath. And with each out-breath, letting your imagination play, imagine here and now realizing, experiencing your deepest aspirations. And now as we turn to the second question, let's consider the various necessary causes and conditions to bring about such a result. And clearly we cannot achieve this entirely on our own, independently. So raise the second question, what would you love to receive from the world around you? From other people, from the environment. What would you love to receive from the world so that you may indeed realize, fulfill your most heartfelt aspirations? As you breathe in, allowing the breath to flow in without grabbing it, without pulling it in, simply letting it flow in. As you inhale, arouse the yearning, may I receive all that I truly need. From moment to moment, day to day, all that I truly need to gradually find the happiness and the causes of happiness that I seek. And with each in-breath, as you arouse this aspiration, imagine reality rising up to meet you. And imagine the light of all that you truly need flowing in upon you and nurturing your practice. Now, in order to realize such well-being, it is also clear that this will not occur without some profound inner transformation. So again, in the spirit of loving kindness for yourself, pose the questions. From what qualities and traits would you love to be free? And with what qualities and traits would you love to be endowed? Would you love to see increase within yourself? So that you may realize your heart's desire, find genuine happiness and its causes. With each out-breath arouses aspiration that it may be so. And with each out-breath, breathe life into this vision as you imagine your own evolution, your own transformation. Imagine becoming the person you'd love to become. So fill this vision in the realm of possibility with the light of loving kindness from your heart. And since, finally, our very existence is interconnected with all those around us, with other sentient beings, with nature at large, raise a fourth and final question in order to imbue your own life with the greatest possible sense of fulfillment and meaning, of satisfaction. Drawing on your own unique background, your skills, your interests, what would you most love to offer to the world around you? To help others in distress, to enrich the lives of others, to bring them to happiness. What goods would you love to bring to bear to the world around you? With each out-breath, imagine breathing out. As you breathe out this aspiration of loving kindness directed towards others, imagine also that the light from your heart conveys or delivers these goods in this world of possibility. And imagine others benefiting from what you offer to them. Release all appearances and aspirations. Let your awareness rest in its own nature. Manaso. So in that way we set the motivation for the next 10 days until we come around to the cycle again. Okay. Enjoy your day.